Hello once again, everybody, and happy July 4th. I, for one, am supportive of the idea of making July 4th kind of a month-long holiday. We just had Pride Month. Why can't we do something patriotic the entire month? But, of course, we're not allowed to do that because despite us living in the land of the free and home of the brave, I think we have all discovered, especially on our side, that we are not free. Or at least we're not as free as we should be or used to be. What I want to do specifically, after hearing a lot of the disgusting statements from the left and certain people on the left yesterday from July 4th, you've got Cori Bush and other Democrats and other people talking about reparations and screaming at white America for white guilt. You know, it's predictable. It's tiresome. It's insulting. But above all else, it's historically inaccurate and more than divisive. I had already had pegged this day as a day when I would respond to what I knew was going to happen on July 4th. When, you know, you let the liberals talk and blather on the 4th about everything that they believe is wrong with the country, you know what's coming, right? We've known this. We understand it. We've learned it. They only have one note. They're a one-note party. The party of the nihilist, the party of the atheist, the party of whatever sickness that they've got today is basically just one note, which is anti-America, or rather anti-everything that the country once stood for. They are advocates of tearing everything down, rebuilding it in an image they support. So let's just make that clear right off the bat. And why I said before why a national divorce is not only a good idea, but probably inevitable at this point. There is no way you're going to have a functioning civilization where everyone gets along when you have such fundamental differences in how you view the country and how and the direction you want it to go and the society in which you want to live. Very clearly, the right and the left want to live in different worlds. So there's really no talking about this anymore. There's no arguing. There's no discussion. There's no debate. There's no negotiation. There's none of that because the fundamentals are too far apart. It's getting to the point where it's like, you know, trying to negotiate with Mao, trying to negotiate with North Korea or Putin, or trying to say this is how we're going to do, this is what we want, this is what you want, and we're going to live in the same country and attempt to live by the same laws. They don't want those laws. They've made that pretty plain. And at the same time, they will continue to lambast the country and its past and scream about everything that's wrong and how there's still racism and how there's still inequality. And so because I knew this and because anybody who has ears and a brain has heard this countless times in recent years, yesterday should have come as no surprise to anybody. And it didn't come as any surprise to me, so I was fully prepared for this. I always knew this was what today was going to bring. This was going to be my response because I knew what they were going to say. I can predict their every move at this point. They've become so transparent, so predictable, that it's not complicated. It's not hard. First of all, to those who are saying, and I know I probably mentioned this or referenced it briefly, but I'm going to build on this now. You know, how we stole the land and we're just, you know, bad white people who stole it from innocent natives. The lack of historical knowledge associated with these accusations is stunning. For all of human history, literally all of it, from the time that there were civilizations and societies that were, you know, more than one, that were separated out and started to expand across the earth. One group of people tended to want to occupy this space of land and conquer this group of people for whatever reason. That has never, ever been anything different. It's only recently that the idea of spreading out and getting new property essentially is sort of gone because there's really not much property left to get. So everyone sort of, it seems like every country has sort of settled into what they have and that's what they're going to have. But in the process of populating the earth, this was just a standard mode. Every single one of us, and I know I've said this before, has an ancestor who did something wrong to somebody else. Whether they took something or whether they stole something or whether they oppressed somebody, whatever. We all do, every single one. All of humanity has this history. And here's the thing. I'm not defending that what, you know, when the Europeans came and took this country from Native Americans, I'm not defending it on the grounds that it's always been done and that it's just what we've done. I'm not defending it. I'm just making the point that that is hardly a unique instance in history. Hardly. And by the way, all the other instances include peoples of all color and races and ethnicities everywhere. I know they want you to believe that only white people have ever expanded somewhere and like wanted to conquer a new piece of land. I know they want you to think that. Of course, it's absurd and wrong, but that's what they want you to think. But more importantly, when it comes to this country and the founding of it and the building of it, there is so much more to that story than a bunch of white people getting off boats and shooting Indians with guns, okay? There's a whole lot more. People who actually know history, who learned history because they're not going to teach this in school anymore, will know that if you look at all of history, all of human history, it was probably one of the, if not probably the top 10 most civilized, humane, if that's the correct word, conquering of a territory. I mean, if you read what some of our ancestors have done to other people in ancient times to grab a piece of land, it's not just barbaric. It's sort of like a different species. They do all kinds of unbelievably awful things to them. And that was, again, not abnormal. Compare that to what we did. You've got to be kidding me. It's not even close. For example, there were strong movements on our side to bring the Native Americans into the culture and educate them, for example. Educate them for free, by the way. Bring them in and bring them in as representatives and try and strike peace deals. In fact, the first things they did when expanding west, I'm not talking initially about the original landings because then there was just inevitable clashes between people who were here and people who were coming here. But in the expansion of the country and the building of the country, once the country had been established, they, above all, and if you can read so many essays and speeches from people in charge of our government at the time, saying that the best way to do this is to integrate, is to educate, and to bring everyone in. And the reason why they wanted to do this is because they didn't want to just, they did not want genocide. They didn't just want to push west and kill everything in sight. That's a lie. That's not true. That is not what they wanted. And really, it's not even what they did. They made many, many strides to integrate. They made many attempts to negotiate with natives. And a lot of it worked. You have to remember that just like anything else, this was much more complicated than it would appear on the surface. For example, there were many Native Americans who were more than happy to negotiate and become absorbed into this new, more advanced culture. Oh, yes, it was. See, there's a reason why certain cultures and certain civilizations won and became the conquerors because they were just far more advanced in a lot of ways. The natives, you can call them whatever they want. I don't care. They were still sitting here in tents and hunting buffalo when we showed up with plenty more technology and civilization. What was happening in like Paris and London compared to what was happening out west in the completely uncivilized part of the country, it's not a comparison. Okay, one group of people had advanced light years ahead of what was going on here. That's just a fact. That's a reason why it wasn't that difficult to conquer. Because it's not just guns versus bows and arrows. There's a lot more going on here. They really had very little civilizations, the Native Americans, very little. And they were a very splintered group of people, many groups warring with each other. That's one of the big reasons why it was difficult for us. It wasn't like we were coming into a cohesive society and saying, okay, here's what we want to do. And why it was just a bunch of pitched battles as they worked their way west and not won all-out war, because the Indians could not combine, could not come together and unite in some sort of resistance front, because they weren't cohesive. They were at odds in a lot of ways. So there were many of them that did want to work with us and many that absolutely refused. And many of them were absolutely atrociously barbaric. Yes, they were. I'm sorry. Not every single one was this peace-loving, noble individual who just got pushed off his land. No, not even close. And many people pushing west, I mean, infighting among Native Americans and infighting among Europeans were very common. Because they disagreed as to how best to do this. But the powers that be, our government at the time, did not want genocide, did not want them wiped off the face of the planet, did not advocate the idea of lining them up and shooting them. They did not want any of that. The fact that it happened to some extent shows you what would happen when you try and talk to some of these people. They weren't going to be spoken to. Okay? This was one of the most civilized attempts, at least attempted civilized takeovers of a piece of land with people already on it that history has ever seen. Look at some, again, compare it. Compare the tactics and what they believed in and what they wanted to do and what they wanted to create versus what, say, Rome at its peak would do to various barbarians, or what the Moors would do in their spread, or what the great legions of Alexander the Great, what they would do when they took over certain places, or some of the more brutal tactics used by Genghis Khan, for example, and in the Asians, and in China, and Mongolia, and Japan, and Korea later. I mean, you've got to see across the world and through down through human history the unbelievably awful things that humans would do to each other when clashes came together, when clashes would occur because of land or imperialism or whatever. And you want to talk about how Europeans are all evil and some of the most evil people in the world because of what they did to Native Americans here. You don't know a frickin' thing about history, and you need to look it up. Because every single thing that we attempted to do at the time was pretty much based on the concept of peace. It didn't always work out because it wasn't going to. There was always going to be a disagreement. There was always going to be something of a war and a skirmish. There was always going to be bloodshed because, let's face it, that's what's going to happen. But the more advanced civilization came in and said, this is what we're doing. And, we want you to be part of it. We don't want to just run around and shoot y'all in the head. We accept that you were here first. And by the way, that acknowledgement was made more than a few times by our government at the time. Yes, they accepted these people were here first. But they also said that this is a civilization that we're bringing to you. You should want this. We're not going to just let you stay out here when we have the means of coming in and turning this into a civilization, creating a new Paris, a new London, a new Rome, of reaching new heights. Because you're not going to reach new heights in the wigwam shooting birds. It's not going to happen. We're ahead of that. Don't you want to be? We're not saying that you're, inferior. What we're saying is we have more advantages at this point and we can give them to you. There's a whole lot of this. They wanted that integration. They wanted more peace. It didn't always happen. There were plenty of leaders and certain military individuals at the time who were very hostile and violent towards natives and did awful things, because these things will happen in a state of war. But overall, the greater picture, none of that is right of what the Democrats and leftists are trying to tell you now about how that all went down. They want most of that suppressed because the truth and the facts is not what they're talking about. Now, shifting gears a little, when you talk about reparations, because you got people like Bush and them still demanding reparations and all the idiots out in California saying, you know, well, we want money and for no reason, aside from the fact that our skin is this color and your skin is that color, and that's called racism, but we won't, you know. The Supreme Court shooting down affirmative action, at least in regards to universities, was a big step in the right direction. And it's amazing to me that people will still call that racist when the actual practice was the definition of racism. But anyway, blood guilt is what they're talking about. They have to be, because they're not. They can't be talking about it now because there are no slave owners now. There are no people who ran and took things from slaves or beat slaves or killed slaves. There are no slaves. There hasn't been for several hundred years. So they're not talking about anything now. They're not talking about any sort of justice now. They're talking about blood guilt. Now, again, this is not an uncommon a theory. This is something else that is down in, through ancient times. The idea of a family, for example, disgracing another, that blood guilt and whoever comes from that, the whole line is now disgraced and should be treated with contempt and all that. Or the other line, wanting revenge. You know, many a great saga or story involves this kind of thing. Blood guilt is at the core of many of even the greatest stories ever told in terms of plays and for things like that. It's common. This is nothing new. However, history will also tell us, and again, they don't do history, so they're not going to talk about it, but blood guilt doesn't work. It doesn't work because the people who are alive today are not guilty of anything. They're not guilty of anything that their ancestors did. They're not, because they didn't do it. They didn't have anything to do with it. Nothing. Therefore, they should not be punished for something that people who are dead did. That's just logical. One of the big reasons why it doesn't work, because you will never convince people, unless they're so brainwashed like the left are now with all their white guilt, that they actually are, despite doing nothing from the moment they were born to now, to actually push down somebody else, which, you know, I know they want to say it's happening unconsciously, which is a great, really convenient way to say that everybody white is guilty. That's, again, really convenient. But in the end, it's just pure racism. That's what they're basing all this on, is the blood guilt, and saying that, you know, they should be given financial restitution. You notice one thing. They're not asking for more opportunity. You know, like the opportunity to have certain jobs or something like that, or things they couldn't have before. You know why they're not? Two reasons. One, they already have that opportunity, and they've had that opportunity for a very long time. And in fact, they have more opportunity now than anybody who's white, because as everybody knows, in the hiring and the education business, as we have seen up to now, with that recent rule in the Supreme Court, that if you are anything but white, you will have the advantage. And even if you want to go further, even if you don't believe that, at the bare minimum, there are no laws, there are no rules, there are nothing that says these people cannot hold any job on the face of the planet, including President of the United States. So they can't stand up there and say, oh, well, we want opportunities we didn't have. Like, for example, suffrage, with women just saying, we don't have the right to vote, we want the right to vote. They didn't stand up there and go, we want money. They didn't stand there and say, for 100 years of treating women this way, we want you to just give us stuff. No, we just want to be treated equally. We want the right to vote. So that's what we want. It just makes sense. We're going to change that about history and do the right thing. Okay? So they're not asking for that because they already have the opportunity to do all this. They have every single opportunity everybody else has. So they can't do that. And they freaking know it. That's one. Two, they're asking for money because it's really what they want. They want a handout. They're not standing and saying, oh, we want the opportunity to work just as hard. No. What they're saying is give us stuff. For no other reason than we're this color. And intimating that it was taken from them somehow by us, by the people who are alive today, and that they were supposed to give it back. So if you look at it from that standpoint and you look at, for like, again, compared to history and protests and rising up and people who are oppressed saying, no, we want the right to do this, right? Slaves just wanted the right to not be slaves. They wanted the right to be free. Women just wanted the right to not be, to have a voice, to vote. When we left England, we wanted the right to be part of the society. Taxation without representation. We didn't like that. That's why we left. We didn't say, come over and say, give us stuff. They're only saying give us stuff because that's what six-year-olds do, and that's what they all want. They want something for nothing. They want a handout. They should be treated as such, as six-year-olds, with just contempt and say, shut up. You're not getting a damn thing. One reason, because you already have every opportunity. You can't even name one you don't have. You have it. Shut up. We've made all the changes. We've done all this since the Civil War. You have it. In fact, it's easily arguable that you have way more privileges and way more rights than a lot of white people do in terms of how hiring is done, how accepting into colleges are done, how government is run, how the media portrays you. All of that is leaning heavily in your direction. It's all pro-black at this point. Every single bit of it, including a highly criminal organization known as Black Lives Matter, which is hugely corrupt and only paints your race in a very bad light, by the way, because everybody in charge is clearly a criminal. They just steal the money from the donations and take it for themselves and buy million-dollar mansions, and you're still going to defend it? This is the problem. You don't actually have anything to protest against. So you're going to stand there, use blood guilt, but in a way that no one's used blood guilt before, and just demand things for free. At least people in the past had the decency to say, well, we don't have this, so we do want this. We want to be treated in this way. It's not that we want to be treated indifferently. They're not talking about that. They want handouts. They want money. They want property. They want tax breaks. That is the difference. This is why none of these people should ever be listened to. Either they're existing in some sort of parallel dimension where they actually believe they're oppressed and suppressed, at the same time as spouting whatever they want to spout, never being punished or just facing no consequences for anything that they say, many of them being rich and famous, many of them being in a far better position socially and financially than 99% of the country. And they're standing there and screaming at us that they're being suppressed, they don't have enough, and they want more. That is a level of racism and hate, which is all it is, that not only should be ignored, but should be actively put down. I'm not talking about the people, I'm talking about the idea. It needs to be completely rejected and never talked about and never entertained again. And if they don't shut up, then they will be silenced in that we won't talk about this in the media, and we're not going to talk about this in social media. We're just going to ignore you because you deserve to be ignored. You have nothing. You have nothing to protest against. You have nothing to say, and you just want stuff. So in the end, that is to be ignored. That is to be appropriately rejected and derided because of its stupidity. And again, because of its divisiveness and its racism and its hate, which is all it is at its core. Justice Clarence Thomas reacted to Justice Jackson's freaking out over the affirmative action thing and her reaction to that, and saying that it basically says that it means that racism isn't a thing, and that it's a ruling that believes we live in a colorblind society, which isn't true. Clarence Thomas's response, you should look it up, it's fantastic. It's exactly the truth, and it puts her in her place. And I want to add that we were colorblind, it happened for a long time, and the only reason we're becoming increasingly less colorblind, the only reason that color is becoming more of a thing is because of you. Because of you people, that's the only reason. When I was a kid, when I was growing up in the schools in the 80s and 90s, this wasn't a thing. I had one of my best friends was black. We didn't think about it. We weren't lectured and screamed at in school. They weren't jamming white guilt down our throat. They were actually teaching us real American history. You didn't see in the paper every day about how people standing up and saying, screaming at us and saying, you're all evil, you're the devil, now give us stuff. This just wasn't happening because it didn't need to happen because all the rights were equal and have been for a long time. We were in the process, I believe, of becoming the most colorblind that a society has probably ever been, and continuing in that path. And I was on the route with everybody else because it was working. And now you've gone and done this. And now you've made it to the point where I'm actively avoiding it. I'm actively avoiding, like, a movie that's just all black people, or if I see that being the focus of a commercial, I immediately switch the channel. whatever, you can call it whatever you want. You've done this. This has nothing to do with me. You have altered everything about how we perceive you. And the fact that there are other plenty of people of color out there who back these people, you know, you should be standing up and screaming back at your own leaders and saying, you know, you're making it worse. And some people are. People like Candace Owens and Justice Thomas and people like that are standing up and going, you are making this worse. You're making the entire situation far worse than it ever was, and it's all your fault. Because the only thing you can think of is race. And you are actually, in effect, the most racist people alive. So, in the end, that's what that comes down to. In the end, this is what all this theft of a land from the Native Americans and all this reparations and crap, they don't have a leg to stand on, because mostly because they don't know history or choose to ignore it. And also, it's just comical that what they're demanding and what they're freaking out about, they're doing it from such plush surroundings with way more money and rights and visibility than I'll ever have. That, well, maybe not rights, but at least equality rights, but certainly doing way better financially than most of us, because they have had that opportunity. The only reason they're there is because of it, because they had the opportunity. So shut up. It's beyond hypocritical. Now it's just lies and yelling at people to give you stuff for free for something that happened 250 years ago. How long is this going to go on? Why can't, I don't know, can we do that? I'm Polish, I'm part Polish. Can I demand reparations from the Germans? Can we do that? Why not? I mean, the concentration camps, my people suffered. Why not? Oh, because it's a different country? I thought we were all in this whole global thing. I thought that's what you wanted. I thought this kumbaya globalism approach is everybody responsible for everybody. That's what you want in supporting the Ukraine war, and that's what you want in going in allowing every single lowlife on the planet in this country who are illegal, who shouldn't be here, yeah, but that's what you want. I mean, you look far enough back, every single human could demand reparations from some other culture somewhere. Every single one. Again, because as I said at the beginning, we're all guilty. Everyone is from the past. But that doesn't apply now. Blood guilt doesn't work. Has no basis in logic and will not work in any given society. So that's my response to the July 4th inanities from the left. And I certainly know that there are people out there who will agree with me, but it's not even a matter of agreeing. This is just a matter of history and facts. That's just the way it is. So that's it for me. I appreciate you listening as always. And again, I wouldn't mind the idea of having an entire month, July, coming hot on the heels of an entire month, June, of things that make me just go, I don't want to be anywhere near you people. So maybe we should support the country and attempt to drag it out of the tailspin that it's in. You know, maybe it's just a good idea. We need a whole freaking month at this point to try and get that morale back. But anyway, I appreciate you listening as always, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you.